Here is Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Our whole culture is so driven to not have pain, to not have to hurt. And so we have every conceivable kind of medication to numb or dull or fix the pain. And so many Christian women are living these very medicated, very numb lives because they're trying to escape from the pain. Now, I'm not saying if you have a headache, it's wrong to take an aspirin, but I think you need a theology that takes you beyond aspirin, that says, I can have a headache physically, emotionally, spiritually, and life is still okay because God is still good.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, January 24th. Nancy began a series yesterday called What to Do When Life Hurts. She's been speaking from her heart, addressing some questions that members of our audience have given her. She'll continue today, focusing on 1 Peter 3:1 through 9. Let me read it. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. The book of 1 Peter is all about suffering. Why does Peter address marriage in this context? Here's Nancy.
Marriage is one obvious relationship that requires suffering. No matter how good your marriage, there are issues where you don't see things the same way. Just you take a man and you take a woman and you put them together and you're going to have differences and you're going to have challenges and opportunity for suffering. But in the context here, Peter's talking to believers who are suffering for their faith. And he's saying, you are going to have to suffer. If you're going to live a righteous life and you're going to follow Christ, you are going to have to suffer on many fronts and in different ways at different seasons. So the goal here is not to get out of the suffering. The goal is to find out how to walk through it in a godly way. And then he gives this incredible example of Christ in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, who suffered for us, not retaliating, not defending himself, but blessing those who cursed him, returning good for evil, submitting himself to the suffering, and all because he knew something. He knew that God was the one who would vindicate righteousness. You see, what you know, if your theology's right, if your thinking is right, then it will enable you to live right, even in impossible or painful circumstances. So then Peter says, now let me get more practical, because you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not Jesus. He said, but you are a wife, or to husbands, you are a husband. You do live in a family. And then he goes on to talk about work relationships, relationships with where there's even political or religious persecution. So he says, you have real life circumstances. And the one he starts with is this one of marriage, which talks first to wives. And he says, some of you are married to men who don't obey the word. Now, in his era, as in ours, there were many women who'd come to know Christ, and their husbands had not yet come to Christ and were ridiculing these women for their faith. They were making it hard for them to live as Christians. Well, Peter talks to women living in circumstances like this. A woman came to me yesterday, and she said, I want to bless my husband, but he just is profane. I mean, he's a curser. He reviles. She said 90% of what comes out of his mouth is critical and ugly. And she said, it's wounded my children who are now young adults trying to deal with that pain and that hurt. So what does Peter say you have to do? Suffer. Well, what he says is be subject, be submissive, come under God's authority. And coming under God's authority means coming under the authority of that mate and doing it with a spirit of meekness and a gentle, quiet spirit. Now, what's a gentle, quiet spirit? Well, it's a spirit that trusts God. It trusts that God is bigger, God is greater, God is more real, God is in control. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. Your husband is not the ultimate king of the universe, even if he thinks he is. And neither are you. Peter says, be subject to the Lord. And then because you're subject to the Lord, you can be subject to your mate. And you can do it with a spirit of meekness. That is, you're not mouthing back. You're not returning to him his way of talking or dealing with situations. He goes on to talk to husbands, and we won't focus on that. But he does apply it to husbands who have to live with wives who are impossible to understand. And that's probably at some point or another every wife. And he says, you have to, as a man, live with your wife in an understanding way, even if she is incomprehensible. That's what submission means for the men, Peter says. Then he goes on to say, finally, all of you, verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Now, if we could just have those things, wouldn't that do away with like 90% of all conflicts? But you start with a hard attitude that is different than the person who doesn't know Christ. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit can you have this hard attitude. I'll just tell you, lest you go home and try, this is something you can't do. You cannot be sympathetic and have brotherly love and a tender heart and a humble mind on your own. That's where we cry out to the Lord and we say, I can't do this. I need you. Be Jesus in me. Live your life through me. Fill me with your spirit. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means Christ in you, living his life through you by the power of his Holy Spirit and the power of the grace of God. So Peter says, do that. And then the expression of that hard attitude, that tender heart, that humble mind. And by the way, the humble mind means, according to Philippians chapter 2, that you esteem all others as better than yourself. Now, we're talking in the realm of impossibility here. You know, I understand that. But we're talking in the realm of the supernatural, that which is possible when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So he says, once you have this humble mind and this tender heart and this brotherly love and this sympathy, you care more about the other person than you care about yourself. Then he says, now, how do you live that out? Well, verse 9, 1 Peter 3. Don't repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, what's that word? Bless. Eulogize. Speak well of. Now, who's he talking about here? Who are you blessing? You're blessing the person who's given you evil. You're blessing the person who is reviling you. He's saying to the woman who has a reviling husband, a husband who tears her down, who picks her apart, who reviles the Lord, who reviles her faith, who is just plain mean. He says to that woman, bless your husband. Don't curse him. Don't give it back. Now, there's a lot more we could go into here, and let me just put a little caveat here, that where there is breaking of the law, where there is behavior that is would harm you physically, this isn't the only passage that applies in that situation. There are other passages as well that talk about the role of the church, You better make sure that you're in a church and under the protection, the spiritual protection of godly spiritual leadership in your church. There's a time when you go to the law, to the civil authorities. Scripture is not saying, let your husband crush your bones and just stand there and bless him. God's made other provision in addition to that, not just for your sake, but for his sake as well. So there are other passages that come to bear here, but you can't skip this one. And by the way, let me say that as I've talked with hundreds of women over the years, most cases in a difficult marriage are not those extreme cases. But more typically, what we're talking about are situations where he's just unkind or he's hard to live with. And some of those emotional types of abuse and wounds can be even harder to take, women have told me, than the physical abuse. And God is saying, when you are cursed, make sure you don't curse them back. And then ask God for grace to do what Peter says, bless. Listen to the end of this, verse 9. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. You reap what you sow. You sow blessing into the lives of your family members and friends, and you're going to reap blessing. You sow cursing, and you're going to reap cursing. So as you sow blessing into your family, Peter says, you're going to fulfill your calling. God wants to bless you. And he will, and he can, and you'll put yourself in a position where God can and will bless you if you return blessing to those who revile and curse against you.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss in a series called What to Do When Life Hurts. For a transcript of today's program or to order the series on CD, just visit reviveourhearts.com. Nancy's been walking us through 1 Peter 3. We'll pick back up with verses 8 through 10. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Here's Nancy.
I picture Peter here having a Christian woman, a maybe young believer, come up to him, and she's saying what women sometimes say to me. My husband does this or that, or my parents do this or that. They're so cruel, they're so harsh, they're so ungodly, they're so wicked. What can I do about it? And often what those women are really saying is, what can I do to fix or change the other person? And I sometimes think they'd like me to fix it or to change it. And maybe Peter was thinking the same thing. And he says to a woman, or it could be a man, situation reversed, he says, in a sense, you can't do anything about the other person. You're not responsible for the other person. Now, our behavior and our choices will have impact on the other person, but ultimately, that's not your responsibility. He says, you're responsible for you. So he doesn't say anything about the tongue or the lips of the reviler or the person who's been cursing. He says, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. You guard your heart. You guard your tongue. You guard your words. You guard your spirit. You guard your attitude. That's all God holds you responsible for. Now keep in mind the context. He's talking to someone who is having evil and reviling done toward them. He says, let him turn away from evil and do good. And then I love this verse where Peter quotes, actually this whole passage he's quoting from the Old Testament, which by the way is just another reminder of how important it is to have the Word of God ingrained and engrafted into your system so that when you need it, you can draw it up, whether you need it for yourself or you need it to help someone else. Peter here is quoting, as most of the New Testament authors do, from the Old Testament. They didn't even have copies of the Bible for themselves, but they could quote liberally from passages in the Old Testament. And if you want to know how to be prepared to handle life's emergencies and extremes and circumstances, part of the key, we come back to it again, is making sure that you know the Word of God. Could you quote from Psalm 34 in your situation or to your friend, your neighbor who's going through a difficult marriage and is asking for help? Could you go back to the Word of God? And this may happen in your workplace. It can happen at church. It happens in ministries, believe it or not. And I've been in vocational ministry for all my adult life. And there are, on our leadership teams, and in the women's ministry of your church, or the leadership of your Bible study ministry that you're involved in, there will be just occasions. I was talking with someone last night about a situation I'm aware of in a ministry right now where there are just two parties of people in leadership who are seeing things differently. And it's caused some hurt. It's caused some things to be said that probably should not have been said. And each party has to realize that I'm not accountable for the other. I'm only accountable for me. So what am I supposed to do? Evil is being done, but I'm supposed to turn away from evil and I'm supposed to do good. Do good. That's proactive. It doesn't mean just go hide yourself in a corner or escape from the situation, which is our natural bent. We want out. Our whole culture is so driven to not have pain, to not have to hurt. And so we have every conceivable kind of medication to numb or dull or fix the pain. And so many Christian women are living these very medicated, very numb lives because they're trying to escape from the pain. Now, I'm not saying if you have a headache, it's wrong to take an aspirin, but I think you need a theology that takes you beyond aspirin, that says, I can have a headache physically, emotionally, spiritually, and life is still okay because God is still good. Because not every headache is curable. God is going to let you walk through circumstances. God is going, in some cases, to create circumstances in your life that you will think of as a huge headache. And it's not going to go away. It may not go away quickly. It may not ever go away in this lifetime. And God says, don't run. Don't run from the cross. This is all about the cross. That's the crux of the matter, is getting back to the cross. It's the willingness to suffer righteously on behalf of those who are unrighteous so that God can be glorified and so they can be healed. And so God says proactively, look for ways to do good. Don't run. Now, I'm not saying throw yourself in front of the freight train coming on. Throw yourself in harm's way. But I am saying ask God to show you how in that marriage, with that child, with that parent, in that church situation, how you can do good. Because your temptation is going to be to do evil when evil is done to you. And that evil may not be that you pick up a sledgehammer and throw it at someone. It's not that obvious. We do evil with our spirit, with our eyes, with our body language, with avoidance. We do evil with the way we talk about that person to others. And Peter's saying, don't do evil. Don't become in your spirit, don't sin in your response to their sin. Instead, do good. And of course, again, let me just say, that's Christ doing good in you, through you. He's the one who gives the grace, the desire, the power to do that. Then he says, seek peace and pursue it. Wow. Actively go after reconciliation. Pursue peace. Now, this is tough stuff. This is rubber meet the road type of Christianity. Whoever thinks Christianity is for weak people doesn't know what Christianity is about. This takes all the power of God in you to do this. And this means, wives, if your husband's willing to stay, according to 1 Corinthians 7, don't leave the marriage. Now, I know as soon as I say that, people are going to get on their email and send me letters telling me about their marriage. And I want to hear about your situation, and I care, and I want to lift you up, and our team will lift you up in prayer. But I'm telling you, we have to keep coming back to what God's Word says, and that is, if your husband, even if he's not a believer, is willing to stay in that marriage, then God says, don't leave that marriage. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, if it's possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Now that suggests that there's some places where it's not possible because the other person is not willing to be a part of that peace process. But he's saying, if that marriage is going to break up, make sure it's not because you didn't pursue peace. Make sure it's not because you were the one spurring on the conflict or you were the one pursuing the breakup of the marriage. Now, when I say that, I know that I'm talking to some women who, if they obey that scripture, seek peace and pursue it in my marriage. For some women, that means maybe the rest of their life here on earth in a difficult, struggling marriage where they will never experience the kind of love and relationship and intimacy that God wants marriage to have. And for some, that sounds like maybe a death sentence. And in a sense, it is, because all of life comes through dying. If you want to have the fullness of Christ's life living in you, then you have to be willing to go to the cross with him. There is no breakthrough into the fullness of life without going through the cross. But let me remind you that beyond the cross, there is a resurrection. And if we could only get a glimpse of eternity beyond this life, then a lifetime of being misunderstood, being ridiculed, being rejected would be just a blip on the screen if we could see it from God's perspective. Paul says it's a momentary light affliction, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You say it doesn't seem very momentary. 40 years? Momentary? Well, it depends on your perspective. We're so earthbound, it seems like forever. But 40 years is not forever. And Paul says, you got to put it in context, that affliction is working in you and producing for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And a moment or two from now, which in the light of eternity is all it's going to be, when you and I stand before the Lord, with all of time behind us and all of eternity ahead of us, we will say, it was worth it to do it God's way, to obey God. So Peter says, back to 1 Peter chapter 3, seek peace and pursue it.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been showing you something important. You can respond with kindness even when someone else is treating you badly. Doing it isn't easy, but you can show kindness with God's power. That program is part of the series, What to Do When Life Hurts. Everybody goes through hurt, so I think everyone needs to learn all they can about this topic. Nancy's here to tell you about a way you can prepare for life's hurts and grow through them.
When you're drowning in the middle of hurt and pain, it's easy to feel alone, like no one has ever felt this way before. But if you look to the pages of Scripture, you'll realize that you really aren't alone. Others have gone through similar pain, and God has led them out. In her book, When the Hurt Runs Deep, Kay Arthur will show you these biblical examples of people who met God in the middle of their pain. This book will remind you that God is near to the brokenhearted, and it will show you how your journey through pain can lead to a place of great blessing. We'd like for you to have a copy of Kay Arthur's book, When the Hurt Runs Deep. Perhaps it's for yourself or for someone that you know, a loved one or a friend who's in a dark valley right now. And this would be a really meaningful way that you could minister to them. So whether it's for yourself or for someone else, we'll send you a copy of Kay's book, When the Hurt Runs Deep, when you make a donation of any amount at reviveourhearts.com. Or ask for the book when you give us a call to make a donation at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. When you call, be sure to ask us to send you a copy of Kay Arthur's book, When the Hurt Runs Deep.
When you're asking the Lord to change some other person, He might respond by changing you. Find out why tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.